favored hero, Paris said. A chosen of one of the old gods, so you believe.
Yes,
Drago Quick replied, for they had just been over this. Perhaps you err. Inside the crystal ball, the somewhat distorted image of Paris's counterpart seemed taken aback.
I have never spoken with certainty.
Perhaps we err, Paris Ulfbinder corrected, in believing that the heroes of the old gods are out there preparing. Now Drago Quick looked simply perplexed. What year is it? Paris asked.
Year?
Yes, what year in Toril's calendar, in Dale Reckoning? Drago Quick's face scrunched up as he considered the question, which Paris expected would take him a few moments to unravel, given that Lord Drago lived in the Shadowfell, where time itself was measured differently.
Too long are you upon the Land of Light that you even care, Drago Quick remarked, before properly answering. 1463, I believe.
Not the date, the name. 1463, Paris Ulfbinder replied. The year of the reborn hero.
What is the significance of this?
Drago Quick asked. Paris could only shrug. Perhaps none, he admitted. It is a lead, not a clue. Potentially a lead, I should say. We should not alter our respective courses or investigations.
Regarding Drisdoerden?
Him or any others who catch our attention, said Paris. We will build our network to find and scout these favored mortals, these heroes. But as we go forth, perhaps we should tell our spies to pay particular attention to any seeming as chosen who happen to be born this very year.
It is a remarkable coincidence, Drago Quick admitted,
and he began poring through the listings of previous years.
But they may hold clues,
Drago Quick pointed out. Now it was time for Paris to sigh, for he had feared that he would open this very box of troubles. Scholars had spent their entire careers trying to make sense or order of the roll of years, the prophecies of Aguthra the Mad. It is work for acolytes, Lord Paris suggested. Take a cursory glance and nothing more, I pray you.
The year of the Singing Skull,
Drago Quick said, seeming to ignore Paris. What?
1297, the older lord answered. The year of Drizzt's birth, I believe. The year of the Singing Skull.
Do you see significance in that?
No.
Then why interrupt?
Why would there be significance? Drago Quick asked. He was just a drow among tens of thousands.
Then why? Paris Ulfbinder let his voice trail off and let the thought dissipate. Indeed, this had been his fear when first he had learned of the current year's formal name. Perhaps it was coincidence, likely it was coincidence, and likely, too, that investigating the name would garner no information worthy of his time and energy. Let our work continue as it was, he suggested to Drago Quick. We have networks to build and spies to recruit.
Like break in the earth,
Paris nodded. Like break in the earth, practical and helpful in ways they will not even understand.
So you reopened our discussion here for nothing more than a curiosity, Drago Quick stated.
Paris considered the words carefully, then finally nodded. Indeed, he agreed. A curiosity. Drago Quick replied with a smile, showing his friend that he understood completely. With a corresponding nod, he draped a cloth over his crystal ball, ending the connection. Paris Ulfbinder rested back in his chair and touched the tips of his index fingers together against his lips. The year's name could mean many things, of course, and perhaps it was nothing more than a curiosity, a coincidence. But Paris Ulfbinder wasn't one to count something with such cataclysmic potential as a coincidence. The year of the reborn hero, he whispered. Chapter 3 Mieliki's Iruladun. The Year of the Reborn Hero, 1463 DR, Iruladun. Wulfgar kneeled by the pond, trying to absorb what Catti Bree had just told him, trying to get past the shock of his rebirth experience. It could not be. Somewhere deep in his heart, he simply could not grasp the truth of the woman's statement.
"But I knew," he whispered.
And though he spoke quietly, his words abruptly silenced the conversation behind him, where Brunner and Regis babbled about this same mystery, seeking some explanation.
"You remembered everything," Catti Bree said to Wulfgar, and he turned to regard the three.
"I knew," he replied. "I knew who I had been, who I was, and where I had come from. Not a newborn."
"Not a newborn in heart, nor in mind," she explained, "in body alone."
"Girl, what do ye know?" Brunner asked.
"Regis and I have been in this place, Iruladun, for several 10 days," she started.
"For 100 years, ye mean?" Brunner interrupted,
but Catti Bree shook her head immediately, as if anticipating that exact response.
"A century in the lands beyond Iruladun, but only a matter of 10 days within," she replied. "This is the gift of Mieliki."
"Or the curse," muttered Wulfgar.
"Nay, the gift," Catti Bree said. "And not a gift to us, but to Drizzt. The goddess has done this for our friend."
"Eh?"
Brunner and Regis asked together.
"The old gods knew," Catti Bree said. "With the advent of Shadow, the connection to the Shadowfell, this collision with this other world known as Abir in our world of Toril, the old gods anticipated the chaos. Not all of it, to be sure, like the falling of the Weave and the Spell Plague, but they understood indeed the greater truth of the worlds coming together."
"Might be why they're gods," Brunner muttered.
"And they know, too, that it is a temporary arrangement of the spheres," said Catti Bree. "The advent will meet its sundering, and that time the sundering is soon upon us."
"And here I be thinking we were dead," Brunner
muttered sarcastically, mostly to Regis, but Catti Bree wasn't listening and didn't slow in her story. She took on the role of a skull then, even beginning a bit of a dance as she continued, much like the dancing she had done around the flowery